Now, from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
It's Optional. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're good and enjoying the nice weather outside. A beautiful day. We are rolling along here, taking over after Talk Sports with Cody. Just as we get everything going here, lots to discuss today. Nick Bromberg is going to join us at 1:20. We're going to talk college basketball. We're going to talk NCAA tournament. Throw in a little bit of college football and a tad bit of NASCAR at the end, like we always do. Not long. Good 5 minutes of NASCAR talk, and we're good. 2:15, Stephen Bailey is going to join us from Syracuse.com. He's going to talk about, and that's not Syracuse, like the university. It's a paper up in New York website. We're going to talk Colgate. We're going to talk Colgate versus Tennessee. That will happen Friday at around 2:45 in the afternoon, Eastern time, from Columbus, Ohio. Look forward to that. Be heading up Thursday night. Look forward to getting up there and covering the Volunteers for Fox Sports Knoxville. Great coverage coming your way. Lots of new video. Lots of cool things I have. I even got a YouTube channel started up last night, so I'm excited. To my right, actually, no, I'm going to start at the front. In the front, Brandon Johns, producer, run of the board, extraordinaire, not a peon. Brandon Johns joins us. Hey, Brandon, good to see you. Just say hey.
Hey.
All right, good to hear you. To my right, we go to the bullpen this week, and I'm excited because we get the we get the all-star coming out of the bullpen. If there was like an all-star team for like bullpen, like co-host that I need, it would be this. TV show.
It'd be Binley and me.
Is that copywriting,
but
or something
I'd still
else
be
in town?
I'd still be like the second guy, right? Because it's like,
well, no, actually, you'd be the third because Brandon is you know, technically my two.
Well, so yeah, here in this scenario, right. I'm the third guy. Brandon is obviously our second co-host of It's Optional.
So it's TBB.
But that's what we'll call it. But you know, when I work up and it's the Binley show, it'll probably be like with me, Binley, or.
Right.
Binley and me.
See, I have a feeling you're going to do like a Joe Rogan type show,
just
where
like
you just sit around for 3 hours and either, you know,
get
like,
really messed up and just
right.
say stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? I enjoy those. I'm sorry. I wish we could. I wish we could go like just on app right now, and I could let a lot of people know exactly how I feel about certain things.
I mean, I did on Saturday.
Right. Well, that's another story. We won't get to that. So Binley joins us today. He will be joining us for the next 2 days, actually. And helping out with coverage on Thursday from Elkmont Exchange. Should be a lot of fun. The watch party going on. Don't forget, though, Thursday and Friday, this is what we're doing. Watch party. Elkmont Exchange. Come by, hang out. The whole crew will be there. The Drive will be broadcasting live Thursday after It's optional on Friday. Going to be a little bit of a different feel to it. It's going to kind of have like an all-star type show leading up to the Tennessee versus Colgate game. I'll be in Columbus, so we'll have a host of guys. Brandon and Chance will be here, and then they'll also fill in with a couple more guys. So that will give you Friday pregame coverage heading into the NCAA tournament. And guys, it actually, a lot of people don't like talking about like tonight's game and say it's not. They say it's not the NCAA tournament, but technically it still is. Tonight we start getting matchups. I'm excited. So technically March Madness begins tonight.
You count the play-in games?
There
was that weird stretch where like the NCAA tournament did try to be like, yeah, the play-in games is now round one.
Right.
And there was like this like weird like year or 2 years where like everyone was like, wait, the round of 64 is round two now?
It was like 3 years ago, I think they tried that.
And then like after that, they're just like, you know what? Yeah, just play-in games round one. That's
right.
Just easier.
I do count it though. I think it's fun. I do count tonight as typical NCAA tournament games because, you know, there's actually some interesting teams that are going to be playing tonight. And I was trying to pull them up, but I don't know. There it is. So tonight you're going to get, okay, Fairview Dickinson and then Prairie View, which Prairie View always seems like they're playing in the play-in game. They did that last year. That'll be at 6:40. Those games are usually fun. They bring a lot of energy. Guys trying to make the tournament to at least go play the one seed and get beat on, you know, Thursday or Friday. Then the fun game tonight, the one that I'm looking forward to because I followed Rick Byrd so much in the Mid-State when I lived in Nashville. Temple plays Belmont. So there's your gimme game. There's your good game for tonight. So looking forward to that one. And then tomorrow night, the other play-in games. Now, you're going to get the crappy one, which is North Carolina Central versus North Dakota State. North Dakota State's actually not too bad. Conference tournament-wise, 18-15 on the year, not good regular season. But then the fun game tomorrow night, St. John's versus Bobby Hurley and Arizona State. Okay, I'll take it. Two good games and two nights, and then it leads us right into the tournament.
NCAA tournament, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll take it. Thursday, everything gets started. Have you filled out y'all's brackets yet?
I have not. I usually wait till like either right before. Actually, last year I didn't even fill one out. Is that weird?
Yeah, that's weird.
Kinda. You can just like autofill.
I've gotten to this weird point in my like in my sports viewing where I don't like fantasy football all that much anymore, and I don't really like filling out brackets because it makes me not like the games as much. Because then I'm like actively like rooting for or against something and not just like taking in good sports. Like when I was like this past football season, I didn't have a fantasy football team and I just got to sit there and I got to root on every single team, just enjoy good football. And I wasn't sitting there like, no, don't pass it to, you know, give it to CJ Spiller. You know, like it's not that stuff. Like I actually got to enjoy watching the games and I did the same thing with basketball last year. But I did feel like I was missing something.
Yeah, okay. It's like your your approach is wrong in the sense that, like, when I go play golf, I want to play well, but I know I'm not going to play well.
Frisbee golf doesn't count.
So it's the same with the NCAA tournament. I want my bracket to do really well, but I know it's not.
See,
so yeah, then I don't really care.
That's the problem with me is I'm a competitive guy. Like, I was legitimately raised to hate losing more than I actually enjoy
right.
winning. So like every time I'm like, no, damn it. No.
Right. You don't want it to go that
yeah,
way.
I'm like I just get so mad and I can't enjoy like just the actual
we'll see if you get in like
sport.
If you get in the bracket pool too, then it's like
well,
as
then,
long
yeah, then
as
you're losing money and I'm poor already.
Well, I had somebody text me the other day, he goes, "Hey, $200 a piece, 10 guys. Winner take all." I'm like, wait.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, wait.
200?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not playing. I don't have $200 to throw at a stupid bracket.
10 dudes, $200?
Yeah, so I don't know.
Winner take all for $2,000?
Yeah. I mean,
is that right?
I guess if you had that much cash to just throw around, you're all good. Brandon?
How about, here we go. Us three will all chip in, and the three, like, three sports minds.
That's true.
On this thing, your buddy won't know what's happening.
Yeah,
unless
I feel
he's,
like
unless
I'd be investigating into, like a murder scene. We'd
almost need one more person just so we each
make
get one.
Even.
Each get one like
yeah,
bracket.
But who at the station?
Oh, yeah.
Who at the station is decent enough that I would be able to go to their basketball?
We have,
that's what I'm saying. There's no telling.
We have the basketball expert in Knoxville.
Chance?
No. Well,
yeah. I'll just Chance, you look at well, he's NBA guy.
John.
John?
John is the
John
basketball.
Can tell me what goes on with Marquette and St. John's?
Well, he's mostly NBA, but he's a basketball guy.
It's like this, though. Every year, ESPN, like the last person remaining like with the perfect bracket is like some 11-year-old kid that didn't watch any basketball.
And they autofill.
So yeah. It's like there's really no talent. Basketball okay. knowledge goes by the wayside.
I would somewhat agree with that. I do think it's basketball knowledge once we get into the Sweet 16 matchups because it's all craziness in the first two rounds. Like you're going to see probably 5 to 6 upsets come for Thursday, Friday. Like that's just bound to happen. Now, do I think we're going to see a 16-1 this year? Absolutely not. I think you lock down that 15-2. I don't know. I know it's not going to happen with Colgate and Tennessee. I see Tennessee coming out and just stomping Colgate, 6 feet into the ground on Friday. But here's a question I have for you guys, and this is not some like uppity up type of way because I just don't know. Now that I'm covering, now that I covered like the past 5 years, 6 years, when I was in Nashville, I was just covering the whole SEC. Am I allowed to put my bracket out there in a way? Even if I take Tennessee to the Final Four, would that be looked upon? That's an honest question.
Jay Billis does every year when he has Duke in the Final Four,
right? Well, yeah. Well,
so there you go.
Wait, are you allowed to put it out there if Tennessee is in your Final Four? Like, are you saying like is
well,
that
I don't
want to
show
bias?
Right, I don't want to show bias. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want
to
show.
I guess
bias.
You do have to worry about that, Big J.
I mean, I don't want to show bias. You know what I mean? I just don't. I think Tennessee. In my mind, I don't know if I'll make a public or not, but I think Tennessee will make it to the Virginia matchup in that Elite Eight, and then here we go. Because I honestly think Iowa beats Cincinnati in the first round game. And then that sets up an interesting matchup between Tennessee and Iowa. I don't think Cincinnati gets out of the first round game. I don't care if it's being played in Columbus. I don't care if it was being played at Xavier University across the street from Cincinnati. I went back. Guys, I've been watching tape, man. I've watched Colgate games. I've watched Iowa games. And I've watched Cincinnati games. And I just feel drunk with college basketball right now. Like, Iowa, that was some boring-ass tape. I watched 2 games. And I'll fast forward. I'm not going to sit there and watch.
You didn't sit there and watch all 40 minutes.
Hour and a half. Yeah, yeah. Hour and a half broadcast. But YouTube is so great because they break it down. They break them all down now and you don't have to see the commercials and all that. So that was good. So I took that. I watched Colgate the other night versus Bucknell in their championship game. I know exactly what they're going to do. Just come out screens and threes. That's about it. Iowa, feed the post. Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's not a good matchup for us.
I know. I'm just saying.
Earlier in the year, we couldn't even get off a screen and – now we've got guys just bombing threes on us left and right.
That's going to be an interesting game Friday. You can't take anybody for granted.
No, we're going to beat the hell
in
out
the
of
NCAA Colgate. Tournament. I do think they come out with a pissed off understanding of where they're at. So that'll be interesting. Did y'all see Marty Smith last night on campus with Jordan Bone and Bowden in
nope.
their interview? Go back and find that. You can find that on YouTube or ESPN. He had a little interview. Marty Smith, great guy. He's going around all these campuses. So, he was at Tennessee yesterday, last night. He was at Garner-Webb by 3 o'clock this morning, and they had a 5 a.m. hit. And they had 300 people in their gym, 300 students cheering for this hit piece. Not a hit piece, but you guys know what I'm talking about. And then he was moving on to another school. So, he's putting in work. We're going to try to have Marty on tomorrow. So that should be fun. I look forward to that. I want to know you guys where you're going with your Final Fours. You can call in 865-546-8200, McKinney Team Hotline. We're going to talk about that today. There's NFL news that's out there. Talk a little bit about that. I'm not talking spring practice right now. I honestly, they're on spring break. You know what? So I'm taking a mental spring break from practice. I just don't care right now. With Tennessee football. For some reason, basketball, in a good way, is taking over this town, and nobody really seems to care what's going on with spring practice right now, and I don't blame them. The betting lines came out as well for opening weekend for some marquee games in college football, And we're sitting there in the middle of March. It's like, how do you come up with these betting lines right now? I mean, tomorrow, a player from so-and-so university can go out and pop an ACL, and the line goes down, you know, 5 or 6 points. So
it's just trying to get people to get that early money in, man.
Yeah, I know that. But, like, I saw one where, like, Tennessee was, like, a 14.5-point underdog to Florida.
People get that itch.
I was like, how the hell do you come up with that already?
Yeah, but, you know, someone in town
sees... Is Felipe Franks that good?
Someone in town sees that, and they say, 14.5? Oh, we're not going to lose by 2 touchdowns.
Right, now they jump on it immediately. Yeah, I get why they do it.
They're just trying to get, you know, the diehards to come in and waste their money.
Right. There, unfortunately, I was looking up casinos in the Columbus, Ohio area. There are no. I've never bet on a game in person, like at a game. I've never bet. I don't think besides like a friendly bet, I've never actually technically bet on a game. I will be doing that though with my bookie, who is with us now. Excited to have them aboard. Get on them. 50% sign-on bonus with my bookie. Use the promo code radio and they'll get you hooked up. On the other side, we're coming back. Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports going to join us, breaking down some March Madness and a little bit of college football and NASCAR. We'll be back. Optional Fox Sports Knoxville. Getting things going today. Talking NCAA tournament. Alabama is actually holding their pro day today. So that's interesting. My question to a lot of people is kind of how far this thing rolls on this year when it comes to SEC teams in the NCAA tournament, especially a team like LSU. Is LSU acceptable for a loss to Yale, like a team that averages 80 points per game and everything going into it? I'm interested to see what happens with games like that. Liberty versus Mississippi State. I watched Liberty play Lipscomb the other night in the ASUN championship game, which I thought was very entertaining. A lot of people are trying to make the case for Lipscomb being in as well. But I look at this thing now and I think to myself, okay, which way does it go? Which SEC team is more, they're more there for the loss right now? Is it Nevada versus Florida? Is it a game like that? I don't know. I look at the upsets, and I'm trying to find them right now.
I mean, people are still kind of wondering why Florida even got in. They had 15 losses on the season. They went.
I think Florida got in because of the LSU win.
That 500 in the SEC. I think Nevada probably has the best chance of beating an SEC team, but although all those old pictures, old clips are coming up of that Yale team that beat a few years ago. That guy where he's like, "How does Yale out rebound Baylor?" And the player interviewing says, "Well, if you grab the ball off the rim,
right, exactly,
that's considered a rebound." And they got more of those than
us. I'm telling you, those are good times. I think it's something along the lines of how's it play out when it comes to upsets, how much money people are going to make off these this weekend, and you know,
is Will Wade back for the tournament?
No, Will Wade's done. We're going to talk about that right now with Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports. Get into that, Nick. What up, buddy? Good afternoon to you.
Hey, how are you? You're good. LSU Yale is our scandal matchup of the tournament here.
There you go. I mean, that's a great way to look at it. It starts to make sense. And now we're sitting there on a Tuesday, man. And I was in Nashville over the weekend covering the tournament. A lot of talk was about Javonte Smart and Will Wade. In your opinion, Will Wade, I haven't got to speak with you since this kind of news broke that he wasn't going to talk to LSU. And you're just like, you know, kind of screw it. I want my job back, but I don't want to talk to you in a way. Does this thing play out with him losing his job before the federal trial starts or after, you think?
That's a great question, because I think it was his only option to try to save a little face and say, hey, look, I, you know, explain why he's not going to talk to his employers. But it's not going to surprise me if he loses his job. It's a matter of two of LSU. Do you think that from what you have gathered, you can say you want to keep him around, he's a good enough coach to keep around, and you don't think the proverbial stuff is going to hit the fan. But if you think in the slightest that it is, and that you need to, you can find a comparable coach on the open market, you need to move quickly when the tournament's over and make a move, because you don't want to be in that position where if you do keep him around, you have to feel very confident, I think, if you're LSU, that what's going to come out in the tournament is not going to be extremely damaging, because when you do that, you run the risk of not only the program's going to be tainted if bad stuff comes out, but I think that it's a little bit more damaging if he's still employed by your school when it does.
Isn't it interesting the fact, do they think they have their ducks in order when it comes to somebody like Javonte Smart, who is, let's face it, let's be real here, the key figure in Will Wade's transcripts, you know, with this wiretap? I mean, they came out and said that they cleared him for one SEC game last week, and it was interesting how they worded it. And then they come out and say, well, he's cleared for the NCAA tournament opener. They didn't say tournament. Like, I something seems kind of fishy going on, in the sense of maybe they're still trying to gather up evidence against this thing to see if he's eligible. Like, what am I missing here, Nick?
That's something that I'm wondering. Are you going one game at a time? Because you are actively looking yourself. So you're going one game at a time saying, well, hey, if we uncover something that day, we can say, or the day after, we can say, hey, look, we got to hold this off. But you're right. This is it's so very different than, and I don't want to reference this last week, but he ended up playing in this last week.
Right.
It's still very different than the way Kansas held out Silvio D'Souza, and now, you know, he's done. His college career is over, and you can say Kansas was playing it overly safe there, but then you have LSU saying, hey, look, we're going to go one game at a time. We're going to let him play and let the chips fall where they may. So, right, I think it's a matter of, if you're LSU and you've got a coach who's not talking to you, you've got to keep digging as hard as you can. And if that means you uncover something, you know, between games 1 and 2, or if LSU makes a Sweet 16 or uncover something in those 4 days, you got to make the decision then and there.
Anything when they released the brackets on Sunday, did anything stand out to you in a sense of maybe somebody getting shipped somewhere that maybe they didn't? I mean, overall, I think they got, in my view, I think they got the teams right, but is anything that stood out to you that was kind of, that caught your eye?
I'm going to stay local here because I'm going to be at the Midwest Regional next weekend.
Fantastic.
I find it, I think I tweeted this exact word Sunday, I think it's absolutely preposterous that Kansas, as a 4 seed, so therefore projected to get into the Sweet 16 if it goes chalk, is going to be playing at the Sprint Center next weekend. That's absolutely, I mean, it's absurd.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I need to go back and look, honestly, because that probably will be something that I focus on if Kansas is in Kansas City next weekend, of when the last time a team in that seed range had been basically had a home game, had potentially 2 home games in a regional final situation. And a little bit to a lesser extent, you know, you've got Iowa State as a 6 playing some really good basketball. They looked phenomenal in the Big 12 tournament. And they seem to have the drama at the end of the season and the regular season behind them. They said they had a team meeting, cleared the air. This is a really good 6 seed playing, I think, a team that could be a beatable in a 3 seed in Houston. So you've got Iowa State, who took over the Sprint Center ahead of Kansas fans. They're probably 65-70% full on Saturday night of Iowa State fans at Sprint Center. They're going to overtake Sprint Center if Iowa State as a 6 ends up making the Sweet 16, with Blue Bloods potentially in Kentucky and North Carolina also being here.
Hey, question, since you're in the Midwest type area, why in the world, what's going on with Fred Hoiberg? Like, why are they starting to float this out there when Miles is still coaching at the NIT and Nebraska?
It's a very Bill Moos-esque move if he's making sure that he has his guy before making a move on the previous coach, because it was very clear that they wanted to have Scott Frost lined up before they made the move there with Mike Riley. That being said, letting Tim Miles twist in the wind like this is a little awkward, especially now, you know, I mean, you had a nice little run in the Big Ten tournament. Excuse me. Then Bill Moos is actually in California for his kid's spring game. It's an odd situation, and I'm not necessarily sure it's the most fair to Tim Miles. But overall, if Nebraska ends up pulling this out and getting Fred Hoiberg out of the situation, that's a heck of a coup.
Got that right. What did you think of Tennessee and Kentucky Saturday afternoon? Did you get to go back and watch any highlights? Or
that was it was a fun basketball game. That felt like the SEC championship game. It really did. But at the same time, it also felt predictable watching the game on Sunday. How Tennessee ran out of gas because, you know, it had to get up so big for a rivalry in that rivalry game, and then comes out flat against an Auburn team who I think. We weren't really surprised that Auburn could win the SEC tournament, and then you're also not going to be surprised that if Auburn goes out to New Mexico State in the first round, or you're not going to be surprised if Auburn is a team in Kansas City for the Midwest Regional and ends up beating Kansas in the second round. So, because this is a Kansas basketball team that gives up a lot of three-pointers, and when Auburn is on from deep, I think they can play with almost anybody in the country. So, you know what? I was actually thinking, too, I want your opinion on this. As the bracket shapes out right now, what SEC team has the best chance to end up with the best combined football and basketball season? Is it LSU or is it Kentucky?
What about Florida? What if Florida makes a run somehow?
If Florida makes a run, they're in the conversation, I think, too.
I would talking just right now with LSU's talent. And the path that they're – look, I know Kentucky's going to get, like, Wofford or Seton Hall in the second round. That's a great question. I would probably have to go with LSU right now, but are those wins actually going to mean anything 6 months from now?
Right. I think that's fair. And I think with LSU – I think in LSU and Kentucky, you kind of have a reverse situation here. You have LSU that you say, yeah, okay, we won the Fiesta Bowl, we beat UCF. That's a nice way to end the season. But – in a lot of situations, LSU fans aren't necessarily going to be happy with that on the football side. Kentucky, you're supposed to be a two seed. You're where you're supposed to be. But what happened in the fall with football, I think a lot of Kentucky football fans were happily surprised, and you've got a lot of LSU basketball fans happily surprised about being a three seed in the tournament. So I think right now it's a toss-up between LSU and Kentucky, and if you know one of them makes it to the Elite Eight, I think that's who gets the overall football-basketball combined edge there.
Did Tennessee... I'm not going to say luck out by losing a game, but it's being reported by a lot of folks that Tennessee would have been the one seed if they'd have won on Sunday and they'd have been in the West in Salt Lake City. Did they luck out getting the two slot, and especially in Virginia's region, and getting to play in Columbus and then potentially Louisville?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think they did. It's an interesting situation when you look at the way that 1 through 8 were seeded. You almost wonder how much Sunday actually played into the thought process of the committee, because putting Michigan State with Duke feels really, really unfortunate for Michigan State, especially when you consider where Michigan is. And then you've got a Tennessee team that could have, if they were going to be the number one out West, you're getting shipped off West. And you might have had a team in Gonzaga being your number two, who obviously we see as on the one line now, and would have been one of the toughest number two seeds. So all things considered, when you're looking at draw and geography involved, I think Tennessee, you almost said, yeah, I'll take the two seed.
There you go. It seems to work out after the loss to Auburn. Switch over to the NFL just for a minute. There's a couple news. Then also, you know what, I'm going to start off with Johnny. Johnny Manziel gets signed by the Memphis Express and the AAF, whose ratings and viewership has been declining like the Titanic over the last 3 weeks. Just overall opinion, man. Does this guy ever make it back to legit professional football? Is he going to be playing the AAF and the XFL for the rest of his career?
I would bet heavily on the latter versus the former. It's a coup of the AAF. Don't get me wrong. I think you need.
How they pull it off?
You need all the headlines you can get at this point.
Right.
But that being said, you know, remember the terms that were put out in the announcement of Johnny getting released from the CFL. They weren't glowing. It wasn't a, hey, he wants to go play in the AAF, so we're going to let him. There were a couple negative things in that press release. So you got to wonder if his commitment wasn't there in the CFL, is it really going to be there in the AAF? And because is the AAF a notch above the CFL right now? I'm not really sure.
Do you think they come back next year? I mean, do you think the AAF is back? Do you think the NFL somehow gets involved and starts floating with some money, stuff like that? I mean, are they? What's your opinion on that? Because you've seen the ratings, what, 233,000 homes this past weekend, the lowest of all lows since it started. I mean, it's one of those things, it seems like, man, where, remember when the XFL was hot for the first 2 weeks and then it just went down the hellhole? Kind of seems like where the AAF is going.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, too, it goes back to this cash flow issue, where you've got the owner of the Hurricanes who had invested in it right away, which that's a scary, and you had the questions about the paychecks. You know, I'll say this. I'm not going to be surprised in the slightest if both the XFL and the AAF are not back. Only one of those two are back for a second season once the XFL gets started. But you also have to think about the XFL. I mean, they're the cash flush ones. And having a guy like Oliver Luck running the league, and when you have a guy like Bob Stoops, I mean, the AAF does have some names a lot of football fans recognize in terms of guys in the coaching staff, Spurrier and the like. But getting Bob Stoops to, I think, coach your football team is a much bigger get and says a little bit more about your league than getting Rick Neuheisel and Mike Martz to Spurrier to coach your league.
No, I kind of agree with you on that. It seems like Spurrier's just doing it to golf at all these different locations he gets to go play at with the AAF team. So it seems to make sense. Switch it over real quick. I'll be honest with you, buddy. I was covering the game on Sunday in Nashville. I didn't even get a chance to watch the race or cuz, but I have gone back and watched a little bit as of now, just certain spots of it. What are your thoughts about this and now all the controversy with Kyle Busch and the comments coming out with RPM owner? And it just seems like everybody has different opinions.
The ultimate irony is that cuz's caution was the one that set it back up for Kyle to be in position to win the race.
I know.
You know, you've got the 43 car with a blown tire causing a caution that ends up setting up Kyle Busch's win number 200. That's very. I don't know I don't know what it is. It's like hard not to notice.
Weird. I'll say that. It came full circle is the best way to put it. It came exactly full circle. So.
Yeah, it did. And you know, I've been joking with people on Twitter about Kyle Busch going up to 200 for almost 3 years now.
Yeah, so it's been fantastic.
This has been a fun little countdown for me, but at the same time, you can't directly. The short answer is you can't directly compare Petty's 200 to Kyle's 200. I think they're both incredible achievements, and Richard Petty's always going to be the king. But when you dive a little bit deeper, I don't think you can sit there and say what Kyle Busch has done is automatically inferior. And I wrote this actually on Sunday after the race. What Kyle Busch has done is inferior to what Richard did simply because you look at the number of starts, you look at the pre-modern era stuff Richard was doing versus what Kyle has done in 19 years. I don't necessarily know if they're equal or they're comparable, but if you're going to say, you know, Petty's over here in one silo, Kyle Busch is on the other, they're pretty much at the same level of accomplishment because I don't think we're ever going to see, you know, what Kyle Busch is doing now. We're never going to see that again in NASCAR.
Looking at the ratings, man, I mean, buddy, they're up. Like, it's kind of, and they're not, it's like, look, it's not drastic, but they're also not taking dives either. What in the world are they doing, man? I mean, what are the people just
there's
interested in the new package or
before.
No,
I mean, I think you know, it's good. I'm glad NASCAR's found the floor. I think, we knock on wood, that, you know, you're at the situation where things have bottomed out and you can start to rebound a little bit. I think we also have to kind of keep in mind is how this is going to go forward because there was so much talk about these new rules and how they would impact the racing. And another thing I wrote on Sunday is I am not afraid to call all of the changes NASCAR has made so far a failure because I liken it to this. It's not that the racing has been bad. Sunday's race at Auto Club wasn't terrible, just like the race at Vegas wasn't terrible. They're both fine races. But when you remodel your kitchen, you don't want the updates to be, you want a brand new kitchen. You don't want something that could have been done with a fresh coat of paint and maybe one or two small tweaks. They remodeled NASCAR with the way that these guys have to drive the cars now with the air ducts, the amount that teams had to spend for this upcoming season. It was, all these changes were done with the goal of drastic changes on the racetrack. That is absolutely undeniable, and it's very undeniable. Okay, so what NASCAR has done, they've changed it so fundamentally for the guys in the cockpit and the teams and how they have to prepare for these big tracks like Auto Club in Vegas.
True.
But what fans are seeing on TV and in the stands, it's not much different. And to me, that's a failure because you don't try to make this huge swing at things for basically the same type of products that you had with just, you know, slightly closer intervals between cars, because to me, you could have done that with by making smaller.
You got that right. On your way out, Nick, who's in your final four, brother?
You know what? I honestly do not know. I'm actually in the middle of a
player pool. Yeah, me either.
Draft.
I know.
That's been my focus. I'm in a pool with eight people. We're picking eight players, and most total points win. Well, I got the first pick, and I had to keep an eye on.
Because, okay.
You know?
That's interesting, man.
You just pick eight players, and whoever has the most points?
Yeah,
eight players, whoever has the most points, and you have to have one, at least one player on a team that's seeded 12th or lower.
Dude, that's pretty good.
So Ja Morant is the
definite
answer.
So he went first round, which you know, I'm trying to sit here going, you know, I want my draft strategy right now is take guys who are averaging 10 or 11 points a game on teams that I think can get to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and beyond, versus the guy who averages 19, 20 a game who may get knocked out in the first round. Because you're right, Ja Morant was a first-round pick. And I'm looking at that going, all right, he's averaging 25 points a game, but, you know, they're a low seed. If they get knocked out, he's one and done. You might have only gotten 25 or 30 points for him.
Wow, that's pretty good stuff, Nick. I didn't even think about that. I might have to look in that over the next day and a half. That never even came to my mind. Okay.
It's a fun little exercise, and stunningly, with a bunch of locals I'm doing it with, stunningly, the Kansas and Kansas State guys are not flying off the board, which I think speaks to how pessimistic people are about their chances around here.
It seems to play off right. Nick, tell everybody where they can follow you, buddy, and your fantastic work at Yahoo.
At Nick Bromberg on Twitter, at Yahoo Sports CFB, and then sports.yahoo.com/NASCAR. I will be at Martinsville on Sunday, so I'll be doing NASCAR this week and then college basketball next week. I'm, you know, it's two fun back-to-back sports weekends. I'm looking very forward to it.
That's fantastic, man. Go give old cuz a slap on the back for me, okay?
I will.
Thanks, man. Good talking to you, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, brother. Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. Great interview. Great guy. He's been with us all season long, all football season, all off season. I appreciate his time every Tuesday joining us at 1:20. Back on the other side, we're going to talk brackets, talk breakdowns, continue to roll on. I want to talk about this player pool as well. It's optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Watching a fantastic video that Ben threw up during the break of a guy. Literally, he stole an ATM, a whole ATM machine out of a gas station or somewhere, and tries to drag it onto like a metro bus.
Yeah, he's dragging it through the street, and a bus is like stopped picking up some people. And as he gets to the front door, the bus driver basically just closes the door, and the guy's like, "Why won't you let me on?" He's like knocking on it.
What city was this?
In New Jersey.
Okay. Oh, that's hard, pretty on brand.
It's hard earned
like
money.
Newark.
I'm gonna retweet this out. It says it's from Breaking 911. Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
That's hard work.
Lane Kiffin retweeted it. So shout out Lane.
Lane must be just sitting around bored today.
I love Lane Kiffin.
I mean, hey, well, are they
hashtag
doing come
practice? To the FAU if you got that much strength.
Are they on spring practice right now? If they're on spring break, he's probably just hanging out with some co-eds.
Joey Saltwater down there.
I mean, do you really have spring break at FAU? I know,
you get a week off.
You know what I mean? No, but you just go like 10 minutes away.
Yeah, I mean,
some people
actually,
like to get away from the beach, maybe.
I would say those people probably either go like to Mexico or like a cruise. Like,
or maybe just go north.
I don't think they'd go north.
Why not go get some winter and some snow or something?
See, one guy I know plays football.
You live on the beach for 11 months out of the year? My ass wants to go get somewhere cold.
Now that you're saying it, the last two spring breaks, my roommates have gone skiing. And I'm like, every time, I'm just like, why don't you go on the beach? But I guess that does make sense. Like, If you're at FAU and you're at the beach all the time, I guess you would want to go skiing or something. I assume those people have money.
Right.
There's some ski resort in West Virginia.
Snowshoe.
Snowshoe, yeah. That's where my friends are at right now.
Really?
Shout out Snowshoe. Actually, I'll tell you about that at the break.
Well, it's like, I mean, where are you going skiing at? What resort are you going to? Oh, that one in West Virginia. Wait, what?
Like it's pretty nice, actually, from what I've heard. It's way better than Ober-Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
You shut your mouth. It's,
come on. Ober doesn't have snow. They have ice.
We'll talk about like, Ober-Gatlinburg.
They probably, like, I feel like they do the same
they're
thing.
They're working hard for their money.
Those people over in, like, that there's, like, a small one over in, like, North Carolina or something. They basically just make sugar. Snow. Yeah. You know, that's what it is. They literally just, like, essentially make snow. And if you fall and, like, put your hand in it, it burns.
Good gosh. Okay. Well, that sounds...
And that's Ober.
That's the
when
one time...
When it's not ice.
That's the one skiing... that's the one skiing experience I have is going to Sugar. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And I went there...
Like Sugar Mountain or something
Sugar
like that.
Yeah, Sugar Mountain. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I went there, and I was not very good at it. My family used to take skiing trips all the time. My brother, if he got like good enough grades, my grandparents would take him to like Colorado or something. I never got that good of a deal.
No, I was hiding my report cards... My early educational years.
It was. Oh my gosh! This is one of the things.
Until my
teacher,
you know, my mom would call the teacher and be like, "Well, did the report cards come in? Yeah, we sent them out 2 weeks ago. Oh, okay.
Where's your report card, Trey?
it ain't come in the mail yet. I don't know, Mom.
This is one of those things.
Turns out it was in my desk.
I'll always hold a little bit against my brother because, like, for some reason, like in like middle high school, he just decided, you know, like I'm just not going to try for a little bit, and then like. When my grandparents started offering, like, hey, like, if you get B's and A's, like, if you just get an average report card, like, if you just get some B's, we'll take you skiing. And, like, I remember being in, like, seventh grade, and I went to my grandfather, and I was like, hey, if I get straight A's, can I get, like, $300? He's like, no. What are you talking about? Are you kidding?
I was the one that, I have two little brothers, and they're 5 years younger than me, like, 4 or 5 years. So I got away with everything. And then it sucked when it came turn for them. Like, parents would learn.
See,
parents learned what I did, and they were like, okay, we know all the little boys' tricks now. You can't hide the report card in the desk for 2 weeks at school. You know, you can't be skipping classes, you know.
You know, we kind of had the opposite, actually.
Really?
My brother, my parents were pretty strict on him. Like, my mom wouldn't even let him have, like, a Nerf gun.
Right.
Like, okay. she was like, you're not playing with guns, you're not playing, like, you're not doing that stuff.
Right.
And, like, by the time I came around, like, there's a big gap between us. We're, like, 8 years apart. Sister's in the middle of us. And then...
So you were an accident.
Yeah, I'm way down the line.
Okay.
Yeah. They're like, oops. No, but whenever I came around, my mom was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I had, like, airsoft, like, BB guns. That,
right.
Like, my friends and I were going out, like... hurting each other.
Dude, your mom was like, you know, just screw
she's
it.
Like,
whatever.
She's like, you're probably fine. I always chalked it up to, you know, Drew, she just thought you're an idiot.
Right.
And she trusted me.
I get that. I would play CYO basketball growing up, and, you know, I'd get thrown. I got thrown out of 5 games when I was in fourth grade. I got thrown out of 5 games because of technical fouls and arguing with the referees. And this was fourth grade. So I got
ejected from an upward game once.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like, I did. I'd get so freaking mad at the referees in fourth grade because I would be the tall one, you know, and the other kids would suck.
What about you,
and
Brandon?
And then I'm out there pushing them around. You were probably like 6 foot two at nine.
I was a late bloomer. I was 9 years old, though, and I got kicked out of a Little League baseball game because they threw, like, called third strike, and I thought it was low. And I was like, if that's going to be a strike all day, I need to go get a golf club.
Hey,
bam.
And Brandon got ejected. I threw a bat. Like, I remember being in my brother was actually my coach at the time. I was upward. I was probably 8, 7. Some travel or some weird call happened. They said I stepped over the line throwing the ball in, which I thought was the dumbest call ever. I was like, people literally just walk and throw the ball in every single time. Like, who cares?
No, I agree with that.
But they called it on me, like, obviously upward, they're trying to teach the kids, but I thought it was dumb. And I threw the ball at the ref.
Did you?
Like, I just chucked it back at him. I was like, yeah, take it. And, like, he threw me out, and then I was sitting on the bench, you know, just mad. And
right.
My brother was mad, too, because he thought it was stupid. And there was something else that happened, and my brother like threw his hands up and they teed him up. And he was like, he's like, are you kidding? And then the guy was like, you need to leave my gym, sir. And he's like, your gym? I don't see your name on the door. And it just went on from there. So me and my brother like yelling, getting pushed out of this gym.
That's fantastic.
And like my dad, that was the one game I think he's ever missed of my sporting career. And he was like, I seriously missed the one game you guys do something cool in. Come on.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was coaching. So this is right when I graduated high school, his first year in college. I was coaching high school soccer at my alma mater. And I was a bench coach. Well, you stay on the bench if you're soccer, whatever.
Bench coach.
I mean, I was on the bench. Yeah, okay. So yeah,
Thanks for clearing that one up.
Yeah. But one of their guys, one of my guys, got cleated in the box, and the referee didn't call it. So me, I just couldn't kind of hold back. You know, I just started yelling through F. I said, you know, you're not calling anything. And I was using language, so I'm just being PG here. You know, especially if you're going to cleat him, I'm going to come out there and cleat you. And he walks over to me. And I was like, uh-oh, this ain't good. And this is a rivalry game, so there's probably 300 or 400 people in the stands. It was pretty packed. It was a night game. He looks at me and goes, who are you? And I said, I'm an assistant coach. Can I help you? He goes, yeah. He starts writing down my name. He goes, there's a yellow card. I said, you give me a yellow card for that damn stuff? He goes, here's a red card. I need you out of the stadium. So literally, I start walking around the goal to leave the stadium. A police officer meets me and escorts me. And he goes, sir, you know why you have to go. And I was like, yeah. Police officer escorts me out of the stadium. All I did was I went to the car, got a lawn chair. I parked that something right outside the fence. And I just sat there. I said, you can't eject me from the whole public park. It's optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. Wouldn't I be ejected?